The following true story that happened, and a shaila as a result. I'd like to see if we can go through it together and get a bit of an idea as to who was responsible for the following damage. A lady did the car rotor and had a car full of children, and on her way delivering the children, she stopped off at her own home and said to the children, "Just a moment, I've just got to pick something up from the house." She popped into the house for 2 minutes, came out, only to find there was no car. Looked a little bit further down the road, and the car was halfway into one of the neighbors' gardens. Actually, it could have been very serious indeed. Somebody could have lost their life. It was very, very serious there. But Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt. The car was completely unscathed, but the neighbor's wall was half demolished. What had happened was that Yiddish children, as they sometimes tend to be, watch it, be careful. They decided, listen, mummy's not here. In fact, it wasn't the owner of the car. It was one of the children in the motor. Decided they'll sit in the front and turn the steering wheel and let's see what happens when we let the handbrake off. Lo and behold, the car started rolling. And at that point, all panic broke out, and the child didn't know how to stop the car, and the rest was £200 of damage, putting the neighbour's wall back up again. Now the question is, who's responsible, or whose responsibility was it in order to sort this out? I spoke to one person, and they said to me, "What's the problem? Let the homeowner claim some insurance." You know how it is. Whenever there's a machlokes, this one, that one, the insurance will pay. The question is, who's responsible? First of all, the child involved, who did the damage, who lifted up the handbrake and let the car roll. So first of all, maybe the parents of the child are chayav. This is actually a very interesting point. What happens if your child does some damage and you find out about it? But more important is that there is an irate the person who's been damaged by a child, and they come along and they say, "Well, will you pay for the damage?" The answer is, everyone feels that there's a certain concept of menschlich type that one should. There's a Mefusha Mishnah in Baba Kama, that pays Zayin Omadalas, and the Gemara says, Cheresh Shota V'Kotten, the Gemara says, Pegiyos on Ro. Yes, if you encounter them, it's bad news. Why? Hachoyvo bohem, anyone who does damage to them, to their property, chayav, you have to pay. But the heim shechovlu b'achirim, if they do damage to somebody else, surim, their proper, there's nobody to claim from. So the child, strictly speaking, the child is actually potter, both the child themselves and you. And it's actually a very important point. If someone does damage to you, and you come to them and say, "Listen, will you pay up?" And they think, "Well, of course I'm hired to pay for my child's damage." Well, have to know that the money that you're taking from the person who pays up is really, you're taking it unlawfully. As far as the halacha is concerned, it's unlawful. You're not allowed. They are actually proper. If they wish to pay up, in a minute, yeah? If they wish to pay up because they feel that it's not right, it's not menschlich, we've done the damage. These are feelings that hopefully we all have, that we don't want to see somebody else losing out out of our children's misbehavior. But, strictly speaking, they are potter, and we as parents are potter for the damage they do. If we want to pay up in order to be mentioned, there's a little bit more as well, we'll see in a minute. There is a concept of lifnim mishuras hadin as well to pay up. The child should pay starting when the child grows up, and I'll bring this in straight away. The din of this pegiyos on ra that they're potter is both the Mishnah and its paskins explicitly in Choshen Mishpat Siman Tav Chof Dalet. Nonetheless, the Taz and the Magen Avraham in Baruch Haim, in Siman Shin Mem Gimel, which talks about one's obligation of chinuch of one's child, they mention and they say that there's a din mitzav nidus chassidus, that the child should pay up when the child grows up. So when the child is bar mitzvah, there's no chiyuv, there's nidus chassidus, that the child should go and mitigate whoever's lost out of their misbehavior, the child should pay up. And therefore, as a parent, to see to it that one's child should, as it were, be absolved of all debts, albeit only nidus chassidus, is a good thing to do, and mitzav menschlichkeit, everybody feels, maybe mitzav v'afterlei for kamoicho, not strictly speaking, in other words, not that there's a chiyuv, but one wants to see that people are sorted out. So if one pays under that understanding, that you're paying because you don't have to pay, that you're paying because you'd like to pay, that's fine. But if you don't know the din, and the person who suffered the loss comes along with a terrible Torah and says, pay up, come on, your child's done this damage, that person is, the money he's taking is actually scheduled, because he's taking money that he's not allowed to tzad the halacha to demand. So that's something just to mention. If somebody comes to pay and they want to pay, the correct thing to say to them is you should know, mitzav the din, you're potter. If you're coming along because you want to pay, because you feel it's a menschlich thing to do, I don't mind accepting it. So that's the din. So this child, however much the child needs taken to the side and telling, watch out, don't start playing with the controls of the car, but the child's potter. The story, in this story, what happened was that the mother went over to the neighbour, owned up. The neighbour had no idea who'd done it, they thought it was a lorry that reversed. Often it happens, lorries reverse, just hit a part of the wall and disappear. She owned up, and she felt very much that she paid up, owned up, and she felt that she'd made a big kiddush Hashem, and that really she was potter, because, after all, what had she done? It wasn't her fault, it was the child's fault. Let's have a look and see whether she is actually chayavah. There's the following sugya that we learned recently in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, which sheds some light upon it. You say that she was irresponsible. Maybe she was irresponsible. She certainly was. One doesn't leave children in the car unattended. But who did the damage? Because she's irresponsible and she needs, you know, as it were, a wrap over the knuckles, so she's probably learnt her lesson by now. It's irresponsible. But between being irresponsible and higher to pay is, yeah, it's already Shemayim Boretz. Okay? But here we'll see. There is, here, a source from the Gemara to say that she's actually Chayav. We're going to see this together. The Gemara, quite a famous Gemara, in Baba Kamma Daf Chof Gimel, the Gemara talks about the following case. It goes on the Mishnah. The Gemara says the following. The Mishnah says, Hakelev Shenotal Charol. The dog takes, and we're talking about a roll. It's a roll, so can eat a roll to be eaten. Yes, a bread roll, which is half ignited. One side is fresh bread, the other side is half burnt. Imagine you put the, coming up to Pesach, not long before Pesach, you put some of your bread on the fire, half of it is burnt, and half of it is still perfectly alright. Along comes the dog, and the dog takes this charola, the holach legodish, the dog goes off to the haystack, and what happens after that, ochala charola, the part of this bread roll that was edible, the dog ate. The hidlik hagodish, what was burning, what was already a coal, hidlik hagodish, the dog managed to light the haystack, and the whole thing went up in flames. Says the Mishnah, ala harora mshalim nezek sholim, ala godish mshalim chatzi nezek. So the din of, you've got to pay entirely for the roll that this dog ate, and so the haystack only cuts in ever. Now the Gemara says, sorry? No. So we have dog owner Reuven, okay? We have bread roll owner Shimon, And who owns the haystack? Don't worry about it too much. The Gemara says that the haystack owner was actually the owner of the robe. But it doesn't matter. For our purposes, it's not important. But the Gemara says, Man Chayes. Who is Chayes to pay? Says the Gemara, Bala Keles. The owner of the dog has to pay for the haystack that's been burnt. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'lichayev nami balak acheles. Why shouldn't the owner of, as the Gemara calls it, the coal, which is this, the other end of this bread roll, he should be chayev as well. Why isn't he chayev? It was his fire after all. So here's a situation where I'm minding my own business. I've got a roll which is half burnt and half bread. Along comes your dog, takes my roll, eats it, and in the process lights someone else's haystack. So the Gemara says that I should be chayev because it's my eish that I didn't look after. Says the Gemara, quite right. V'sheshime gachalosoi, where I had it in my own garden. I was careful with my fire. I was careful, it's translated into modern terms, with my barbecue. I was careful with the coals there. They left responsibly. And, says the Gemara, if this burning bread roll was left carefully, my boy Kelev Hossom, how did the dog get to it if I left it out of reach? Says the Gemara, the dog dug tunnels under my fence, got into my own back garden, my own rishus, and out it went and did the damage. Now Tosfos, on this point, Tosfos asked the following, Vintoma, Vamai lo porich, why instead of the Gemara asking, why isn't the owner of the coal chayev, why didn't the Gemara ask, the lifter bala kelev min acharoro? If you leave your roll in the street, there's a din, we know that shame, if an animal eats something as it's walking down the road, you leave your fresh rolls in the morning, you leave them out in the street, yes? You leave them on the bonnet of your car and you come back. In the meantime, a dog has come along and eaten the rolls. The din is that the owner of the dog, Potter, shame, b'rishus harabim, is Potter. Tosfos says, if you're going to say that the owner of the roll, which is half a coal, yes, is chayev, so the Gemara should have asked, why should the owner of the dog be chayev for eating the roll? The roll was obviously left somewhere where it shouldn't have been, and if so, there's the patur of shame. Shame is of eating b'rishus harabim. So Tosfos answers, and this is really what we want, is the answer. Tosfos says, the nireh mikan ledaktik. So Tosfos, we can learn from here, the Yose Yeshla Odom Lizoy Atzmoy, a person has got to be more careful, Shelo Yazik Acherin, that he shouldn't do damage to other people, Mishelo Yuzak, than, in other words, more careful to make sure you don't do damage than you have to protect your own property, he says. Shemachuyav Lishma Gachalosu Min Akelev, you've got to keep your coals away from an outsider, a dog. Even the dog's got absolutely no permission to come into your garden, so that you shouldn't do damage to others via someone else's dog using your coal. So Tosfos says something very interesting. When you finish with your barbecue in your back garden, if a fox climbs over and comes and drags the coals in some shape or form out of your back garden with reasonably high fences and goes and lights, sets someone's house alight, that's for Shalom, of course, but if that happens, you will be highest because it's your coals. You should have left your coals in a place that not even a dog or a fox could come and get them. So Tosfos says, this is what we learned from this case over here. So it transpires the following. Here's my car. Let's get back to our case. Here's my car. I leave the car with a handbrake on. The car's safe, perfectly safe as it is, won't do any damage. But I leave a cotton inside the car. By leaving a cotton inside the car, What have I done? It's the same as the case. I've got to be more careful with that my car doesn't do damage than I have to be to make sure that no one damages my car. In the same way as the owner of the dog is chayav to pay for the roll that he ate, because it's my roll, he shouldn't have come into my house, absolutely not. Nonetheless, the damage that he did with my roll is, says the Gemara, would be my responsibility if it weren't for the case in the Gemara that I put the roll in a place that the dog could never normally have got to it, and tunneling wasn't something that I would have had to be chayshish. Absolutely. So the din is that it would be half and half. They would be equal partners in crime, and they would have to share whatever damage has been done, whether it was nezek sholim or chatzi nezek. It would be divided between the two. Certainly, that would be the din. So here, the question is: we come back to the case of the car. When I was discussing this din in our Chosh Mishpat Kolon we have in the afternoon in Eitz Chaim, headed by Rav Rabbi, so Rav Rabbi said to me, "Yeah, but this is different." He said to me, "In this case, with the coal." The coal is an ash that's burning all the time. It's my ash. I've got to be careful to make sure that the dog doesn't drag my ash and do damage to somebody else. But the car is stationary. When the child lifts the handbrake, releases the handbrake, it becomes the ash of the child, not my ash. And therefore, the din of the child is proper. Not mine. The difference between the coal and the difference in the car. In the coal, it's my fire that's burning. The difference is the dog took my fire and did the damage. So we're partners in crime. The dog took the coal to the fire, to the haystack, and my fire was left in a place that the dog could do this. Therefore, we become partners in crime. My fire does the damage, and the dog does the shidduch between the damage and the haystack. Whereas in this case here, the car was left responsibly. The car, the handbrake was on, the car had stopped. The child then releases the handbrake. It's like the child striking a match and creating its own ash. Yeshua Berkovitz was also there, and the coil said, "Yeah, but there's a Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara in Daf Tes. The Gemara says the following." The Gemara says, "Tomu Rabbanan, kol shechavti b'shmirosay, for whatever I am responsible to look after, hechshalti as nizko, if I didn't look after what is my responsibility, hechshalti as nizko, I am the one who has, as it were, allowed the damage to happen. So I'm responsible." So responsibility and damage, we see, the Gemara makes a direct connection, as we saw in the beginning. That if I've got a responsibility as a rule of thumb, if it's my responsibility, then if any damage happens as a result of my lack of care, that's me. I'm the one who did the damage. So the Gemara says. The Gemara says, what's the case? The Gemara says, we're talking about the Shon Koshul. You leave an ox or a bull, you leave it tied up, that was perfectly tied up, but ubay mechusa, or you dug a hole, a huge hole, you cover it over with a manhole. But, says the Gemara, you leave a cotton there in the vicinity. And the cotton is there, and as Tosfos explains, you cover up the hole properly, you tie this bull up responsibly, the bull can't move. But you leave a cotton there, and the cotton undoes the knot. The cotton lifts the manhole. Says the Gemara, in such case you're chayav. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says the case is that you tied the bull up, but the knot wasn't quite strong enough. But between the cotton and the knot and the rope, that bull should have been safe. Says Rashi. In such a case, nonetheless, the cotton walks away, you're chayav. Tosfos says no. Tosfos's case is very much our case. You leave the bull tied up, you know there's a cotton there in the vicinity, and the cotton is likely to mess around and undo the rope. In such a case, I've left my ox or my bull irresponsibly. I'm chayav, even if it's the cotton that opens the knot. That's the case in the Gemara. Here, this is an exact parallel. I leave my car on a hill with a handbrake up. I've left a show. I've left an ox, yes, with potential damage. The only difference is, it doesn't make a difference whether I tie the bull with a rope or whether I lift up the handbrake. That's it. But the trouble is, all is well. But the trouble is, I leave a cotton in the vicinity. If there is a likelihood that when I'm not there, the cotton will mess around with the controls, then it's like exactly the same as the cotton untying the rope and leaving the bull to do damage, which is my responsibility. Says to Gemara, in such a case, I'm chayav. Here's the same. It would depend. If you leave the car on a hill, which was this case, and you leave the cotton in the car, and the car and the cotton undone releases the handbrake, that's your responsibility. It's your ish. The car has potential energy. It's going to, as soon as the handbrake is left off, it will do damage. Our responsibility to make sure that our cars are left in a safe position. This wasn't. If the car was left on the flat, and what happened was that one child released the handbrake, and the other one gave a push from the back, and as a result the damage was done, that's the Aish, the moving object that does damage is Aish, that's the Aish of the child. In such a case, the owner is grossly irresponsible, but potter. It's the Aish of the child, and then there's the din, to Yosan Ra, make a din the potter. So if it was on the hill, either going up or going down, and the car rolls as a result, I left the child irresponsibly, because it was shayach that the child should do it. It's my ish. I'm chayach and fully chayach for everything. It transpires that this lady was actually fully responsible for what she did, and the payment that she made was a wonderful kiddush Hashem. It's to pay up what you owe is a kiddush Hashem as well, but it wasn't this mimushul tadin, it was the ikadin she was chayach to pay. This over here is a little bit of an idea. You see over here just how complicated these things can be, and how this was certainly the correct stuff over here. Let's go on from there for a little bit of drush for the time that we've got left over, since it is Parshas Mishpatim, the Parsha that is ahead of us. The Gemara in Shabbos says the following: Kol Hadon Din Emes La'amitoi, whoever judges a correct guilty, he says, Ki ilu nase shutzef laKadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh bereishis. Unbelievable. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. Yes, nearly 6,000 years ago. Here comes along, little us, and we sit over our Gemara, listen to the case correctly, we paskin correctly, become a shutzef laKadosh Baruch Hu. What's going on? What's this Gemara telling us? How can we become a shutzef in what's already been created, just by sitting and dealing with one din Torah in the correct fashion? One more question. We say, Hashem osan lonu Torah semes, v'chayei oilom notar v'sicheinu. We tell have an aliyah, Hashem osan lonu Torah semes, v'chayei oilom notar v'sicheinu. What's the connection? Up there on the bin where you've got no time to think about it, but what is the connection between Hashem osan lonu Torah emes and v'chayei oilom notar v'sicheinu? Two separate things. Why are they put together in the same book? There's a tour in right at the beginning of Koshin Mishpat who asks a fascinating question. He asks the following: a stira between two Mishnayos. One Mishnah says the following, two Mishnayos that we know well. The Gemara says that the Mishnah says, "Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Al Gimel Dvorim, Al Shloisha Dvorim, Ha Oilom Kayom, Al Hadin, Al Ha Emes, Al Hasholim." Now the question is, there's another Mishnah which says, "Bishul Gimel Dvorim Nivra Ha'olam Alav Torah Alav Avoda Alav Kamilas Kafodim Mishnah Ovis." A Gimel Al Shloisha Dvorim Ha'olam Alav Torah Alav Avoda Alav Kamilas Kafodim. The Torah quotes are being Yonah. We'll ask the student and says, "Well, which one is it? Is it Torah Avoda and Gimelas Kafodim, or is it Alav Din Alav Emes?" Says Rabbeinu Yonah, if you look carefully at the Lashonis and the Mishnayos, you'll see one of them is Bishvil Shlosha Dvorim Nivra Ha'olam. For three things, for three purposes, the world was created. The other one is Al Shlosha Dvorim Ha'olam Kayom. The world. So one is three. There were three reasons, three main purposes for the creation of the world, but the reason why the world is sustained is Alo Emes Baladin V'Al Hashonim. So says Rabbeinu. Now over here, when one passes correctly and one goes about engaging in a Din Torah as it should be, that is Din. The Din, when one does it La'amitoi, then that is Emes. However difficult the case is, however much each litigant feels that he is correct, there is an uncanny way of when the emes is paskens, that creates shalom. When the emes, when the correct psak, according to the Torah, is rendered, then whatever each side feels, if it's correctly handed over and explained, that leads to shalom. Those three things together. Therefore we have over here the continuation of the world is based upon emes, din, and shalom. The shuk, that the concept is that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world and the world to cease to exist is pointless. The shuk, as far as we're concerned, is that we cause the continued existence of the world. That's what it means, the shuk. The shuk, we find this in Shabbos as well. Everyone who keeps Shabbos, Omer Vayechulu, is like a shutzah. What does it mean? It means that the continued existence of the world is down to us, is due to us, due to our participation in the tzedek, in the correctness and the emes of the world. Just to illustrate this with one story, a very interesting story. When Dinah Bransky, when he was missing, as we know, that the last years he spent in Yerushalayim, he was very active in Eretz Yisrael after he retired from the base in here in London. And he was in Eretz Yisrael, he was there, and he was lifter. Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was mustered, Beit HaHesper, for Dinah Bransky. And Rav Shach said one point. He said the following. He said, Miyokum li imrein, miyis yatsiv li imperli ove. Who will rise up against my enemies, and who will stand with me against those who do evil? Those who knew what was Rav Shach referring to didn't elaborate anymore. He said this pasuk over and over again, Miyokum li imrein, now that Dinah Bransky is no longer with us, who is going to stand? There was a famous story that happened in, if I'm not mistaken, in the 70s, that there was a call from the Israeli government, but particularly from the army, that all the yeshivas should be closed, and that the yeshiva bachurim should join the army as normal, like everybody else. And this was something that had been decided, it had gone through, and that was it. It was about to be put into action. And Dinah Bransky made an appointment with the head of staff of the army and said, "I'd like to meet you." And his mission was clearly to be able to persuade the head of the army to let the yeshiva bachurim stay and learn. So one would have thought that half an hour, three quarters of an hour of the drasha, the musa shmuz, how important Torah is, and you don't understand, and you think that fighting isn't important, and you think that's all that matters, and the learning, etc., etc. Dinah Bransky was in there in the head of the chief of staff's office for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then he came out. There was a delegation that went with him, they were waiting, and he came out. He said, "Don't worry," he says, "it's been sorted out." He said, "It takes you time to come in, say good morning, sit down, start speaking, maybe to listen a bit what the chief of staff has got to say. What happens?" Dr. Bansky says, "I walked in there and I said, 'Dear chief of staff,' I said, 'I've got one thing to tell you. Bar Kokhba fell in the hands of the Romans when he started with the Talmid Chachamim.'" So the Medrash says. Chief of staff sat back and said, "Show me the Medrash." Then Abansky produced the Medrash, read it out for him, and that was the end of the matter. One word of Emes does far more than hours of yelling, of shouting, of making the point. The Olam is only on the Emes. If we're Zoicha to be able to behave in a way that is truthful, that is correct, that it is Emes, upon that, the Olam is only. Good morning.